You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion Peter Rosenberg.
At six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone.
Hey.
Welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
Which is brought to you by Sloman Shield and Casa Noble.
Yeah.
I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael tonight.
By the way, my foot is killing me. Keep looking for infection.
And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
He's not a stripper. He's a pitcher.
And good evening to Don again.
Jalen likes twisty noodles.
And lastly, good evening to myself. Do you have any nudes?
Well, what a show.
Well, I'll tell you who is not nude. Anthony Pusick last night when watching that Rangers-Penguins game. Am I right?
Yeah.
I think he put on a snorkel coat.
Yeah. Full winter jacket, fur coat, everything. There was nothing nude if you're a Rangers fan.
Wrapped in a throw blanket.
Yep. Shivering, sitting by the heater.
I want to take you through my night, Don, very quickly. So when Fox scores that goal that went off the skate,
right,
made it 4-2, I got up. And I went upstairs to pack for the trip. I came down, it was 6-2. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. It just wasn't sustainable. Like when they were coming back in game three, I felt like, yeah, they can do this. When Fox scored to make it 4-2, they just weren't playing to where I really felt that they were still going to come back. There was time, but they weren't really spending really any time in the zone to make you think that they were going to score two more and not give up another one. Tough performance.
Let's hear from Gerard Gallant on whether or not the Rangers are testing Louis Domingue enough.
Not even close. Not even close. You know, we talk about putting pucks to the net, and we show some good goal scoring that we do around the net, and then we try and get cute and fancy. Like I said, it's a straight, direct hockey game. Keep it going to the net. Keep people at the net, and we're trying the other stuff.
I got to tell you, Don, I know you're working. Sam Rosen, he is from the school of Louis Domingue.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, a lot of Louis Domingues. No Domingues, a lot of Louis Domingues.
I wonder if I would be doing Louis Domingue if you didn't call attention to it.
It's a beautiful name to say.
Why do all L-O-U-I-S automatically become Louis?
Not Lou Cornaseca.
Well, because...
See you guys.
You know what? I don't know.
Well, because it's Lou.
Lou Piniella?
Because it's Lou. But whenever somebody spells their first name L-O-U-I-S, they never say Louis. They always go Louis.
No, they're wrong.
Well, I don't think they're wrong.
Seif's sound. Oh, no. Seif's name is L-U-I-S.
That's Luis.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's join the show, Peter.
I'm sorry. I was thinking out loud. Let's hear from Adam Fox on the Penguins scoring in bunches.
Yeah, I think it's just, I mean, bearing now, I think it's lapses. You know, I was guilty of a lapse on that goal, and, you know, I think it's just we maybe get a little down once one goes in, and then it seems like they come in bunches for them. So, yeah, I think it's just bearing down and, you know, having the mindset of not letting them get those good looks, get to the net, and get tip opportunities too. So, yeah, I think it's definitely starts with us, and that's where the focus is at.
Isn't it funny in sports, all sports, whatever was kind of your Achilles heel during the season always seems to rear its ugly head at the wrong time, right? Like the Yankees not being able to hit in scoring position, that'll end up happening in the playoffs and cost them a chance to make a run. What do we say about the Rangers all year? Poor, you know, or very average 5-on-5 and having lulls during games. And you can have lulls against like half the league and it not kill you.
But the thing that killed them, Don, is that they're great with the power play. And when they had those three power plays in game 4, they didn't score, or game 3.
Yeah.
That might have been the series.
That was a big deal. We talked about the Deming save on Zibanejad, but they had 35 seconds of power play time to start the third in a tie game, two more power plays on top of that. It was the fourth best power play in the league going in, did not get the goal, and then you allow, you know, Danton Heinen, who was a third line, you know, winger, to beat you for the game winner. And that's you know, we can talk all we want about the Criders, the Zibanejads, the Panarins, and they need to be better. But what you see in these playoffs, it's the all-around effort. It's Zucker who's scoring big goals. Jeff Carter. I mean, it's not all about Crosby, Rust, and Gensel. They've been good, but everybody seems to be joining the party here, and that's what you need when you want to win playoff series. All hands on deck, everybody play well. And where's Pittsburgh's the best, getting that now.
Best place you ate in Pittsburgh, Don?
Well, there were two places. One was called 11.
Okay.
Which was stellar. The food was fantastic. The other place we went to was Church Brewery. It was like literally used to be a church. Like the steeple was still there and all that. They overcooked my steak.
Oh, no.
I was not happy.
Did you send it back?
But how do you send it back? You can't uncook it. You can send it back if it's undercooked, but if it's overcooked.
No. You send it back and go make my steak the right way.
Yeah,
now,
and then,
the next steak you get is going to have phlegm on it, but it might be cooked
the right
way.
Right, I'm saying there'll be all kinds of ingredients that you normally don't get with steak that would come back. So I just, that was a great dinner. I sat down and broke bread and had long conversations with somebody I had not spoken to forever, Larry Brooks.
He's tremendous. You know what? I think he's underappreciated in this town, how good he is. I mean, you know I don't love hockey. I read him every day and I learn something. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame, Don. He is great. And when he covers baseball, he's great on that too.
He talked about how he was saying he loves covering baseball. And he's a New York guy, and it was a nice dinner.
Did you guys spend any time with the Don, let me not ask Don. Michael, did you spend any time with the Celtics vehicle last night?
I did, especially the ending. Wow. I mean, the Horford dunk was just amazing.
I'm glad you brought that up. Let's hear from Al Horford on how Giannis staring him down after a dunk from Giannis fired him up.
Yeah, I don't really know what he said to me, but the way he was looking at me and the way that he was going about it really didn't sit well with me. And at that point, I think just something switched with me and then in the game.
I don't know what's happening with Al Horford, but, like, he's literally transformed into a different player. Michael, that dunk you're referring to from Horford last night, they made the comment last night on commentary. It's not like stuff a young Horford would do. It's no Horford. He had 30 points last night. He was 11 for 14 from the floor, 5 for 7 from 3, plus the monster jam in that critical spot. Tatum had 30 as well. Jaylen Brown added 18, and the Celtics were down the entire game, essentially. They were down 7 after the first, 1 at halftime, 7 going into the fourth. The lead was as big as, I think, 13. And then in the last literally 3 minutes, they just blew the game wide open.
And you know that Horford, Peter, I believe for the series, is shooting 58% from 3.
Honestly, do you guys want to see something funny?
What's that?
Yeah.
All right, watch this. Andrew, what are your feelings on Al Horford?
Not good. I believe that he is a double agent sent by the Celtics initially to destroy the Sixers.
Worked. Mm-hmm.
But things went haywire. Daryl Morey came in. He was sent to Oklahoma City. And as is the case with any agent when a plan goes awry, he was brought back to Boston to finish out his career.
You know what?
Are you feeling better about your Sixers, Andrew?
Oh, very much so. I mean,
are you willing to give Doc a big extension?
I wouldn't say that, but I'm feeling good about how this series has turned. It's Embiid. He came back, and he's somewhat close enough to the what we expect him to be, and it's changed everything.
Could you guys keep rolling tonight? How are you feeling?
Yes, I think that the Sixers are the better team.
And Lowry's out tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I like Kyle Lowry as a player a lot, but I almost wonder if that helps Miami for him to not play. I give him credit for trying to play through this hamstring injury, but he was so bad trying to play through it. I think that him being off the court helps them.
Wow, that's a strong take, Peter. That's what ENN's about.
I know. I just love Andrew literally says Al Horford, and many, many Philly fans feel this way, forgot how to play basketball when he's in Philadelphia. Like, was terrible. Did not contribute or make the team better in any way. And now he's literally playing the best basketball of his career.
The guy was a great college player.
Okay.
So he's not some hack.
No, no, no. He was good when he was in Boston.
He was a good athlete.
He was good when he was in Boston the first time, too. But when he was in Philadelphia, he was awful.
I don't believe he forgot how to play, Peter.
It was a conscious decision for him
to destroy the organization.
It was by design. This is right up there with the fake moon landing. I love it. I'm totally on board with it.
Hey, Andrew, guess what? Taking some of my winnings from yesterday, going right on Philly on the money line tonight, baby.
Oh, I love
it. I'm with you.
I love it.
You're going money line in Miami, you're going to lose your money.
I love a short money line. They're plus 124 on FanDuel Sportsbook. I won last night with the Celtics and Warriors. Let's just flip it again and see.
Peter Rosenberg's hardwood pick of the night.
Got to tell you, got to follow me on the Instagram, Rosenberg Radio, because that's where I give my FanDuel picks every week.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I had no idea about this.
Huh?
I don't know how to feel about it.
what are you considering?
Well, I just don't know why everything great isn't on the air.
Well, how transparent do you want to be here?
Ray Rowe.
We always lift the skirt on this show.
Hot 97 got me a digital deal with FanDuel, so they get Instagram stories.
Wow. That is the answer.
Can that department help out over here?
You know what?
What in the world am I doing?
I understand.
Thank you, Ira.
Yeah, Ira always makes some salient points. Ja Morant, doubtful to return in the playoffs, guys.
Still a game they should have won yesterday.
They had it.
Yeah, bone bruise, right? He's out for the playoffs.
Bone bruises in his right knee, and he is unlikely to return this postseason for the Grizzlies.
Remember, they're 20-3 in the regular season without him.
That's the crazy part.
It's
but he was averaging 38 points in the first three games, 38 points a game.
It's one of the great conundrums in sports history, how they could be that good without him. How,
Sway? Well, they will now be back in Memphis for Game 5, where they find themselves down 3-1.
I know what that's like.
What you know what's like?
Being down 3-1.
Natalie's going up in a helicopter right now.
So the sun came up today. What are you trying to say?
It's not as often as you think, but I hear you. Guys, good news. Iron Mike Tyson will not be charged for punching the airplane passenger.
Right. But you know, I read that, but I wanted to know the other side of the story. That other guy should be charged.
Yeah.
Great
for
point.
For instigating and trying to start a fight with the guy. He should be charged.
Something had to happen.
Authorities will not file criminal charges after this first-class passenger attacked.
First-class in seat only.
In seat only. Attacked Mike verbally, and then Mike responded with punches.
You know what I would do if I was a court? Here's your punishment, son. You have to spend 3 minutes in a ring with Mike Tyson.
And not the Mike Tyson on the plane.
Tyson who's free to just knock your block off like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Right.
Great. Says that Tyson and the victim, quote victim, both asked for charges not to be filed.
Oh.
Why does everybody have to be Gandhi?
So nothing happened then. Something happened, but according to everything, nothing happened. So
no file charges, guys. I don't get it. Well, it happened last week, too. Somebody didn't file charges for some. It's crazy. Well, which one am I thinking about?
Well,
Chris Rock?
Yeah, why didn't Chris Rock file charges?
Sort of a different situation, but I hear what you're saying.
Oh, I would file heavy charges.
Natalie's going up in a helicopter right now. Veteran kicker Graham Gano found a solution to get Kayvon Thibodeaux's his number 5 jersey. Gano asked for $50,000 to be donated to the charity Puppies Behind Bars, which benefits military veterans and first responders.
Aww.
That's the deal that was agreed upon. Thibodeau made the deal, and now he will wear number 5.
How do we feel?
Didn't Gano ask for somebody else wanted 5 last year, and he couldn't get it because Gano asked for too much?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, why would it be any different than what he asked for this year?
I guess 50 grand was too much.
But for a good cause.
It's still 50 grand for, it's a lot of money. People decide what they want to spend on charity.
How do we feel about these, defensive ends wearing number 5?
Oh, Jabril Peppers wearing number 1. Jabril Peppers wanted it, Don.
I don't care for it.
Let's be honest.
Always.
It is complete. The only argument is us being old,
That's fine.
Not wanting to change in our ways. But I don't apologize for it. I absolutely hate seeing Micah Parsons' number. Every time I see him, I go, what is he, number 11? Well, yeah, what is happening? It's ridiculous. You old stupid man, get lost. Not into it. By the way, Seth Curry underwent ankle surgery on Monday, guys. Steph Curry is still playing in the playoffs
because
his team is good. Yeah. Seth is saddled with a team that was very disappointing this postseason.
You know what struck me the other day?
He'll be back for his training camp, by the way. Yes.
So they fired Barry Trotz, but Steve Nash is still working. And they're going to have a big press conference tomorrow, by the way. So by the time we come on the air, we'll know exactly what they have to say.
Yeah.
What could they say?
It was an unusual year. A lot of things went wrong. The vaccine and they'll have something.
No,
I'm not buying any of it.
Lou's going to tell you, we let him go. The search has begun.
You think Lou would fire Steve Nash?
In a heartbeat.
Wait, by the way, which you mean who's having a press conference? The Nets?
Nets are, yeah.
Oh, the Nets are.
Yeah. Don thought Island.
Yeah, I don't know what you were talking about, Michael.
No, Lou had his conference call yesterday. The Nets are having a big press conference.
But the way the timing was way off. It's not what you want.
What timing's off?
The two of the hosts you work with both thought you were talking about the Islanders.
Oh, you guys aren't that bright.
We're not that bright, or you made a mistake.
No, listen, if I'm being honest, I knew he meant the Nets.
Thank you for standing up for once.
But did it sound like, if you didn't know, and I didn't know, that it sounded like, you might have known because maybe you know the Nets have a press conference.
It was poor pronoun usage. The Spurs owner insists that the Spurs will stay in San Antonio. Made a statement saying the team is going nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Famous last words.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some desire for them to go to Austin. But which is right down the street, by the way. I mean,
yeah, but Austin Spurs has a nice ring to it.
Really?
You don't think?
That kind of works.
I mean, we're talking about one of the greatest nondescript franchises in history of sports, so would it matter?
That's also a fair point by you.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now let's go back to yesterday's conversation about the NBA MVP, Don. And we were discussing Joker, whether or not he should be MVP. Jay Will was on Bart and Hahn earlier, and he says there needs to be specific criteria for MVP.
I literally did a list of 2005. Shaq being robbed by Steve Nash, 2006, Kobe being robbed by Steve Nash. Like, I literally went through, even like 2018, I think it was LeBron and James Harden, where certain people were robbed. So I get frustrated because there's not a set criteria on what you're actually hunting. And for me, just give me benchmarks, NBA. Just tell me what things are solidified in stone, because I'm tired of it being such a subjective conversation, because each and every year, I just end up getting mad and frustrated. So I decided to be a little bit more pragmatic and practical about it. And just try to come up with terms that say, okay, here's what you need to determine what the MVP is, and then let it be carved in stone and call it that.
But aren't there parameters, just people don't follow it? Like, is it the best player in the NBA, or is it the most valuable player?
Well, that's the thing.
Do we have a definition?
I have my own made up definition, but I think it's left to each person how they view valuable.
But yeah, well, that's the thing is, like, what are the parameters? Like scoring a certain amount of points, your team winning a certain amount of games. Like, what does he mean by parameters? Because it's MVP, most valuable player. And it's hard to argue that the best player in the NBA isn't the most valuable to his team. But some people look at it and say, yeah, well, I can't give it to LeBron every year, so I'm going to give it to somebody that, you know, overachieved. I don't know what parameters he's talking about.
Well, I think he just would like the idea of it being very specific.
Well, give me an example. I know it's not you, but it's Jared. Like, what's the example? Does the team have to make the playoffs?
Maybe wins above replacement?
Oh, like a war? Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like that
well,
kind
that's
of
no fun.
Process?
I don't want to make it analytical. Like, do you want it like you have to be one of the top four teams in the league? Do you have to be a top three scorer? Do you have to be a candidate for the defensive player of the year? Like, I don't know what parameters
you're
talking
about. Do you have to be top five in multiple categories?
Yeah, but then that kind of takes some of the fun because sometimes it just feel, right?
Of course.
And also, I know that a lot of these players get bonuses for winning MVPs, but let's not take the fun out of sports, please. Some of the greatest debates are who should have won an MVP, who should have won this or that. Like, nobody's going to debate who should win the batting title. That's specific. Whoever has the highest batting average wins the batting title. But when you have something subjective, isn't that fun?
No, it is part of it, but it also can be disappointing. I mean, this year, a lot of people unhappy with the Joker because of that exact reason of the sort of feeling.
So everybody's got to be happy. Feeling. So we have to have things in sports where everybody feels like everybody feels the same way. Well,
yay!
Boys, then let's just play music.
Now, let's before we end ENN, let's hear from Buck Showalter giving us the latest update on Jacob DeGrom.
Everything's going well. You know, I'm going to stay out of the doctor and trainer business, but he's where he's supposed to be. I'm not going to say ahead or behind, but they like the way he's progressing. But, you know, I get an update on Reed Foley and all our guys. Trevor, I'm going to start calling some of them as we get into it.
Now, is he playing coy or is he somebody that really doesn't know? Because Gallant does the same thing, too. Like, I don't know. I didn't talk to the trainer. Like, is that just an excuse or it's not. I'm not a doctor. They'll let me know when he can play. I think it's probably the latter, right?
Yeah,
because we don't live in a day and age where a manager can just, you know, grab a player by the lapel and say, "All right, you're playing tonight. I don't care how much that hurts." It's not 1956.
Well, and also I don't think it's good business for a manager to bother being overly involved in this stuff. All you can do is kind of get yourself in trouble. You got to take the word of the people who it's their job.
Because you talk about subjective, right? Like, what's the manager or the coach going to want to know? All right, when can he play? And the answer from the doctor is never going to be, he'll be ready in exactly 3 days. Like, no doctor can do that. It might be two. It might be five. There might be different stages. So it's hard. That's why every injury is, he'll be out 2 to 4 weeks. There's a big difference between 2 weeks and 4 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening. It's brought to you by Sloman's. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME to get a free doorbell camera with the installation of your Sloman Shield. Keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME. And Casa Noble. When life moves fast, take a moment to hit pause and experience the smooth, elegant taste of Casa Noble tequila. Perfect tequila for all of life's meaningful moments. Next, we'll get into everything you want to do. We could talk Yankees and Mets. We could talk Tom Brady's broadcasting career. We could talk the Jets' future and Dan Orlovsky. Whatever it is you want to do. 1-800-919-3776. Peter and Don taking you till 7 on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.